Welcome back, everybody. I think it's going to be one love at the No Kings protests all across the country tomorrow. Millions of people will be out in force. It is projected to be one of the largest, if not the single largest, mass protest in U.S. history. It will be something to behold. We'll be talking about it a little later on in the show. Right now, we are working to get Senator LaTanya Johnson from the 6th Senate District on the horn. Couple of technical problems, but not to worry. As we work on that, Jim and I have more legal eagle matters to discuss.
We do, Maggie.
The other big legal news that dropped today was that a federal judge sided with a coalition of states that had sued to stop an executive order that basically put in really kind of ridiculous proof of citizenship requirements in order to vote. This is beyond, you know, like Wisconsin's voter ID law, which, by the way, is a matter of politics. I'll just say this. I really do think Democrats need to stop arguing about voter ID. Most people support it. It's been the law for a while. Like, worry about getting people the ID, right?
Get them to the polls and get the voting done, right?
Correct.
Get that ballot put together.
Correct. That is really the focus. And before we get into the meat of this decision and how important it is, and frankly, how it was broader than an earlier court that reviewed something similar in a different case. I do want to, of course, drop the word to win this afternoon in the Wisconsin Scotty Summer Text to Win statewide civic media giveaway. The word to win this afternoon is win. W-I-N. You're going to want to text that word to become a winner. I hope you do, via the Civic Media app, which you can get for free anywhere. All contesting rules at civicmedia.us. Each of these hours that we do these giveaways for the last 2 weeks, you can win $100 or Brewers tickets, and you can win a getaway to Wisconsin Dells or Door County, including gas. So text the word to win, W-I-N, to win. Jim, can you just explain in a nutshell, as we work to get the senator on the horn, what the decision, why it was broader, and what the court concluded this afternoon?
Absolutely. This is Judge Denise Casper. You should know that. We appreciate the Judge Caspers of the world out there who are saying, no, you can't do unconstitutional things. And she does, in fact, broaden this. This is in response to President Trump's executive order way back in March. And he says you got to have voter ID. You got to show up every place. You got to be able to establish citizenship here in the United States. That's number one. And she says he can't do that for reasons we'll get to. And she also says, oh, by the way, I'm blocking this directive. That's also a part of his executive order that commands the attorney general. Her name is Pam Bondi, as we all know, to take some action against those states that continue counting ballots beyond Election Day. So both of those things, that's where she goes beyond what was done before. The ultimate thing that she says is it's real simple. Even if this is beyond that, she says, you know what? The Constitution, let's all talk about the Constitution, doesn't grant the president any powers over elections. And that's the point. This is James Madison stuff, right? This is the terms, the conditions, the trappings of elections are what? They're matters for state decision making. The president is the one person in this entire structure who has no involvement in this. And she says, so no can do, Mr. President. Goes on. Again, another great piece of writing from this judge. And basically, once again, telling Donald Trump, you know, get a constitution. Well, maybe he's got one somewhere in the White House. I don't know.
I've got one too, Jim.
There we see.
If you're watching us on Civic Media's YouTube channel, which you should be, you can see the nerds, Jim Santel and Maggie Dawn, with our pocket constitutions that we carry everywhere with us, of course.
And it's not that big a volume. You can find this very, very easily,
Tiny little thing I got here. You know? It just fits right in my back pocket.
And it turns out we got another simple decision, but important decision, basically saying, no, you've got nothing to do with this. Stay away. It'll be appealed, and we'll go down that road once again. But it is sad, isn't it?
Some clarity.
It is sad that this kind of thing settled ever since the Constitution's been in place, that in 2025 we're revisiting it, and we have to have judges, good judges, taking a look at this and saying, nope, This one also, we've done this before. Go away.
Go away, Donald Trump. We have now Senator LaTanya Johnson from the 6th Senate District, the ranking Democrat on our state's Joint Finance Committee. Welcome back to the show, Senator. Thanks for your patience.
No, thank you so much for having me.
It's always a pleasure to speak with you. So the actual budget deadline is hypothetically June 30th. That ain't happening, is it? Tell us why and what happens since we're not going to hit that June 30th deadline, Senator.
So we roughly got started about 3 weeks late. Although Republican leadership swears that we'll be done by June 30th, I can't see that deadline happening. I know that both Republican leaderships and the governor's office were in discussion. So we were hopeful that a lot of that work would have been done in the 3 weeks that we were doing absolutely nothing because talks were going on. But as those talks broke down, that was when we got to doing the work of the actual budget. And so we're roughly about 3 weeks behind.
Senator, I want to, based on the press reporting from Wisconsin State Journal, other places, my takeaway, and I'm going to be a little cheeky here, you need not, but I will be a little cheeky, is basically the talks between the governor's office and Republican leadership broke down because while the governor was willing to compromise and meet the MAGA regime at the state halfway, Republicans basically said, no, we want everything that we want and we'll give you none of what you want. And then they took their toys and went home. I mean, again, I'm being cheeky, but it seems to me that's what happened. What's your understanding of why the talks broke down?
There were a lot of negotiations going on, but it seemed as though the Republicans weren't really willing to budge, especially Senate Republicans. So one of the sticking points was criminal justice, the Department of Corrections. The Department of Corrections, the prison system that we have was designed to hold roughly 17,000 people. We currently have 23,000, so we have a massive overcrowding system. We're going to need to do major reforms. One of the sticking points for the Republican Senate was the closure of the Green Bay facility and then making WAPON a vocational training facility with an early release program. I was told that the early release program was basically just a non-starter for them. And the early release program is extremely important because you're talking about people who are there for nonviolent crimes who are eligible for early release as long as they participate in the programs. But even more than that, it saves the prison system from overcrowding, but it also saves taxpayers money. So you can put people back into the community at $4,400 a year versus the $54,000 to $58,000 per year that's paid in the prison system. And we know we're not going to build another prison system or a new facility. So that was a huge stickler, not to mention by the end of the biennium, by 2027, we're going to see that that the prison numbers are going to escalate to over 24,000 individuals, and that's just not a safe place for anybody to be.
Senator, let me just. Mm-hmm. Jim and I were talking about this earlier, and I want people to know because, again, as Milwaukee's Corp Counsel, we dealt with our own overcrowding challenges in our county jail. Mm-hmm. The first thing that I want people to realize is, especially folks that are in there for nonviolent crimes, mm-hmm. providing people with an incentive mm-hmm. is such an important idea. Instead of you're just going to serve your time and we'll put you in frankly harsher incarceration circumstances, doesn't serve communities, and it actually, in my opinion, works to actually make communities less safe because we're expending Correct. Dollars and resources in a way that isn't return, doesn't have a good ROI on safety. This is a huge way to try to address the massive overcrowding problem in the Department of Corrections. So, Senator, I appreciate your frustration. I can say that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Senator, this is Jim Santel.
So, individuals yeah.
yes.
with skills. Back into yes. the community, and that's important.
And Senator, yes. this is Jim Santel. I'm very good to speak with you again. I'm here with Maggie this afternoon. Can I just follow up on that? You have been a big advocate also of reentry programs, right? This notion that, okay, we're going to release you now. We're going to not only provide you with the skills while you have been incarcerated, but after that, we're also going to provide you with community support, all that kind of thing. Plainly, that also takes money. Can you speak to that, the importance of that piece of people who are incarcerated, they've spent their time in prison, and now we are reentering the community? I know you've been hugely committed to that. Talk with us about why that's so important.
It's so important because we know that if incarcerating someone is actually going to work, you need to rehab those individuals so they're not on a rotating line where they're constantly entering in and out of the criminal justice system. And that's extremely important. It's extremely important for the adult portion of the prison system, but especially for the juvenile portion to prevent that from happening. Now, this is a shocker for everybody. And I tell people that if you want to know where your money is being spent and where improvements can be made, to watch the Department of Corrections. So currently, Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake, which is this state's only maximum secure juvenile detention center, we are currently spending $460,000 per year per youth to house those children. Effective January 1st, when that new budget goes into law, or you can just say effective in July, not January 1st, but effective in July, that rate goes up to $841,000 per juvenile per year. Now, when you talk about the totality of the budget, yesterday, the Republicans passed the Department of Public Instruction's budget with zero general school aid. Zero. That's the first time that that's happened since the Walker administration.
Zero school aids?
Zero general school aids. And even for special needs, we only increase the special needs funding to 37% and not the 60%. But we're willing to spend $841,000 per juvenile offender per year. There is something wrong with that equation. There's something wrong with that priority. And not to mention that in July 2026, that rate then goes up again to over $860,000 per year per juvenile offender. So if you want to know this state's priorities, you have to look at the budget. And I don't think anyone would say that, you know, starving our schools but funding our juvenile justice system is a safe bet, or a bet that, you know, constituents around the state want to pay for. It's not. Those costs don't go to referendum. You don't get a choice as to whether you pay that or not. You're just given the bill. And unfortunately, we've been given those tremendous bills for far too long. And we're seeing that by not rehabilitating our youth, those problems are continuing into adult prison.
Folks, that's State Senator LaTanya Johnson. She is the ranking Democrat on the state's Joint Finance Committee. Senator, if you can hang around, we'll have you come back after the break. I've got Jim Santel with me riding shotgun. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.